Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and yes, indeed, The Weekend Report is on your radio, and what a show we have for you this week. Absolutely packed. My partner, Chris Arps, is in Atlanta, and we're going to be talking to him here in just a few seconds. We are also today going to talk to Rodney Boyd, Bob Beckel, hopefully, Skip Weber, of course, and Libertarian Vice Presidential Candidate Spike Cohen. We have got a packed show for you today. And as I mentioned, my partner is not in the Arps compound under 50 feet of steel and concrete. He is traveling the world doing the work behind the scenes to keep us all safe and to protect liberty and freedom throughout the country. And we talk to him now. Chris Arps, what's happening, man?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing great. So we should say...
You know, I'm almost getting a complex, Tony. You, like, jam-packed a show with really great guests when I'm gone.
Well, that's because you're gone, because I can't... I need people to talk to.
Because Chris Arps carries your weight.
That's right. Because, yeah. Because when you're here, I know that you could do all the heavy lifting. And when you're gone, I've got to pack the show full of guests. So we should say that
I paid you back that money I owe you, right?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. This
good.
Is all. This is all the truth.
Okay.
So we should say that as we are having this conversation, it is Friday, not Saturday, because you got an opportunity to attend this event that you're at right now. Tell us where you're at and what you're up to.
Tony, as you said, I am in Atlanta, Georgia, actually Cobb County, right next to it, I think. And I am in a ballroom waiting for the president to arrive from Florida. This is a Black Voices for Trump group. And the name of the event and the name of this is Black Economic Empowerment, the Platinum Plan.
Hmm.
So he's going to be talking about, he's probably going to say, what have you got to lose?
Right. And we talk a lot about, we've talked a lot in the last 4 years on this show about the president's outreach and expansion as far as the voting base is concerned in the African-American community and other minority communities. What's this event look like to you? Is it packed? Does it seem like the president has some momentum in that area? What's going on?
Yeah, he's definitely have some momentum. The doors opened at 10, and there was a long line to get in. Frank informed me that the president is still in Florida, so the event is probably going to be delayed. But we've got, they probably got maybe 500 chairs set up. People are milling in. And the press is here. Everyone's here, just ready for the president's remarks. It's kind of exciting, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fantastic that you're there. I can't wait to talk to you throughout the week and on next week's show after the event to see exactly what went down. Back to this, the outreach towards the minority communities with the president. We saw in 2016, surprisingly to many, that he did, as far as a Republican is concerned, at least, he did very well with African-American voting. He got more than any Republicans of the recent past. But if you were to watch the media or listen to the Democrats, you would think that there are zero minorities that support or vote for the president. What is the, in your opinion, what is the truth there? Has the president even expanded on what he already accomplished in 2016? Do you think we'll see even larger number of votes, or has all the protesting and social unrest that we've seen taken a toll on the president's support in that community?
Tony, I think the president has definitely increased his support from 2016.
Really?
Now, black females are the linchpin of the Democratic Party, so he didn't do that well with black females in 2016. Where he really did well was with African-American males. He got 13% of the vote. And there have been polls out from Rasmussen and other polling agencies that are saying that that percentage is doubled in some cases, and that's something that I actually believe. Look, the Democrats know that if they don't get a 2012 Barack Obama-style black turnout, they can't win. And so I think that is part of the strategy of the Trump campaign. They know they're not going to get the overwhelming majority of the black vote, but if they could bump that 13% to maybe 20 or 25% of the black vote or the African-American male vote and make the overall black male vote maybe 15 to 20%, Democrats would be very hard-pressed to win in November.
What has the president done to increase support in the black community? Because, again, if you were to watch the if you were to believe the mainstream media or people on the left, he's done nothing but turn these voters away. What's the truth, in your opinion, to that? What has he done to grow that support?
Well, I think the main thing that shows that he can grow that support is during his presidency, black unemployment was at the lowest ever.
Yeah.
I think if you look at some of the other concrete steps that they've taken, they started with Senator Tim Scott in South Carolina, a program called Empowerment Zones. And that's where they go into low-income communities and try to invest and spur investment. And then, too, Tony, something that was very high profile, the president signed a criminal justice bill, and he has pardoned a woman who was in jail for 20 years who was selling drugs. So I think if you add all of that up and you see that he is having these events geared towards black people, which you normally don't see from Republicans, especially this late in the campaign, I think he's been making a good effort, and I think we'll see some results of that in this November.
Like I said, I can't wait to get the recap from you on this event and see what was said and see what, gauge the not only what the president's plan is, but the excitement from the folks there. If he's winning over more and more people as we get closer and closer to this election. While we have a couple minutes left, I wanted to ask you also about your you put out a new article about a week ago on Red State about mail-in voting and citizen voting, having to be an American citizen to vote.
Yes.
Was part of that article. I know you were doing some work on that, and could you just tell us about that article a little bit and some of the research and work you've done for that?
Sure, Tony. That's part of the reason that I'm down here is Americans for Citizens Voting, a 501c4 that I'm the president of. Our mission is to place on state ballots all across this country constitutional amendments that say that only citizens can vote. And it sounds like a no-brainer, of course, but in San Francisco and L.A. and other jurisdictions around the country, they are allowing non-citizens with green cards who are here legally to vote. And so the Georgia State Assembly had a measure, SR 818, to put that on the ballot, and it didn't pass. So, Tony, we're down here basically harassing state legislatures who sign a pledge saying that they support that.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, that illegal alien or non-citizens are voting in municipal elections. correct?
That is correct.
Is there a fear or is there a push happening on the left to make to expand those voting rights for non-citizens?
Well, not that hard. What I think at this, Tony, is it's going to be incremental. Right now, they just want to be able to have non-citizens vote in school board and mayoral elections. And I think once they can make that kind of normal and it's no big deal, then I think they're going to shift to, well, if they can vote in these elections, then why can't they vote for their congressman? Why can't they vote for their governor, senator, or president?
Yeah.
You know how it is, Tony. It's just a slippery slope.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Take a little every time, never give anything back. That's usually
exactly
the plan. That is Chris Arps live in Atlanta, and he's getting ready to see the president, and I'm looking forward to talking to you after this event, Chris, throughout the week and on next week's show as well. So thanks for taking some time out during your travels, and we'll talk to you
soon.
Thank
you, Tony.
You bet.
Thank you for not replacing me.
No way. Would never happen, my friend. Talk to you soon. Have a great trip.
Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too. All right, we got to take this first break, and when we get back, we are going to talk to Spike Cohen, the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate. First opportunity to speak to Mr. Cohen. I'm looking forward to it. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd. What? I was listening to the song. It's great music.
You're like wiggling over there to the music.
That is, of course, the music of Perry Woods, who is one of the great St. Louis local musicians who gives us lets us use his music every week as the soundtrack of The Weekend Report. No industry hit harder than gig workers right now. So if you like that music, download Perry Woods music anywhere you download music. And if you don't download Perry's, download some local music. And always support local music. Tony Colombo, like I said, back here in studio. Just talked to my partner, Chris Arps, who is not here with us this week because he is in Atlanta at an event with President Trump. And we just talked to him in the last segment. If you missed that and you're listening to the radio.com app, you can rewind and hear that again. Or just make sure you're downloading our podcast. And we may check in with Chris. We still have a couple hours in the show today. So if something happens at that event throughout the day, we may check back in with him in Atlanta and see how that went. If not, of course, we will check with Chris throughout the week to see how that event went. Right now, joining us on the phone, as I mentioned in the last segment, the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, Spike Cohen, joins us for the first time. Mr. Cohen, thank you so much for your time. How's it going?
It's going great, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us. We've talked to Dr. Jorgensen a couple times on the show. I am the resident libertarian here at 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis, so I always appreciate the opportunity to sort of spread the word and spread awareness of the Libertarian Party, so I appreciate these conversations. For people who are just being introduced to the Libertarian ticket, Dr. Jorgensen and yourself, could you give us a little background on your journey to this point?
My personal journey actually started in business. I am not a career politician or anything of the sort. This is actually my first time running. I have no my experience is all in running and owning and starting and operating and growing successful businesses, starting in 1999. Back when I was a teenager, and for over 20 years, I have been doing just that, growing and creating good, great good businesses that are you know, providing value to the market and growing, creating jobs and so forth. And 3 years ago, I decided to retire from all of that and focus my life full time on libertarian activism. To that extent, I became the co-owner of Muddy Waters Media, which is a libertarian podcasting and outreach group. And after talking to Americans across the country and hearing their frustrations about not knowing that they had had another choice besides the Republicrats, I decided that we needed someone that was running for higher office who was able to effectively spread the message of liberty in an engaging and dynamic and empathetic way. And that's what led me to running for the VP.
You know, I'm glad you said that like that, Republicrats, because I've said for years, as I mentioned, my politics are more libertarian. Doesn't mean that I agree with every single libertarian, and I'm sure you don't either. I don't think 350 million Americans fit into two or three boxes. Certainly not two boxes. And the two-party system, whether you want to hook up with the libertarians or someone else, I've said for years that we need more choices. The Republicans and the Democrats just don't represent the country anymore. You know, we need more choice. We need more parties. That's my opinion. Do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we talk about allowing third parties. And we aren't just about, obviously, we want to win elections, but mm-hmm. we believe Americans need to have as many choices as possible yes. on the ballot box, because the idea that a nation of nearly 350 million people is given two or even three choices and told, these are your choices, you have to pick from them. Not only is that not representative of all the different options that Americans should be able to have, but it also encourages corruption. We've seen what two-party politics has brought us. We keep being told that we have to vote for the quote-unquote lesser evil, and we just keep getting more and more evil. We keep getting told that if we don't vote for Republicrat A, then we're going to get Republicrat B, who's far, far worse. And we're supposed to ignore the fact that Republicrats A and B work together every single day to make life harder for us in the first place. So, you know, that's the other reason why I call them Republicrats. Yeah. I find increasingly little to no discernible difference between them.
Could you explain the Libertarian Party, the Libertarian philosophy as you see it to the listeners? Because I think there's a lot more people out there that are libertarian or libertarian leaning than they even realize, that they don't really know what the that's the party that wants to make pot legal. You know, like is that the Green Party? Is that Jill Stein? You know, like they just kind of roll their eyes at third parties and they don't completely understand. And when I talk to Republicans and Democrats and I'm able to have a conversation with them and I explain my philosophy on libertarianism, they start to realize that maybe they believe a lot of those things too. Could you give your synopsis on what it means to be libertarian?
Absolutely. So libertarians believe, and this is obviously, you know, in a nutshell, believe in a nutshell that people do best. People live and thrive and prosper best when they are free, when they are able to have all of their power and their freedom and their wealth, and they aren't being robbed and they're not being imposed upon. We believe that everyone has autonomy and self-ownership. We believe that they own their lives and their rights and their bodies and their labor and their property, which is the product of their labor. And we believe that when people take from each other or try to harm each other or tell each other, try to impose themselves upon each other, they're committing what we call aggression. And we believe that aggression is wrong, not just from a moral standpoint. You shouldn't hurt people. You shouldn't take their things. You shouldn't try to order them around. But it also doesn't work from a utilitarian standpoint. If I can take from you and everyone listening to this whenever I see fit, and I can order you around whenever I want, I'm not going to make good decisions because I don't have to. I can take as much from you as I want, and I can order you around as I see fit. I don't have to provide you value, and I don't have to prove that I'm doing a good job. I can just order you around, and you aren't necessarily going to be good stewards of what you have or make good decisions because you know that I can come in and take it from you at any time. And if we look at all of the bad and harmful and abusive and inequitable outcomes that we've come to love and expect from the Republicrats' policies, they're really just policies wherein those folks have assumed and presumed the authority to be able to take from us and order us around whenever they see fit. We shouldn't be surprised at the outcome of those types of arrangements.
Talking to the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate, Spike Cohen. Spike, how can libertarians get their message to people when so many libertarian-minded politicians end up running with either an R or a D behind their name because they are afraid that they won't have the support, they won't get the attention, they won't get the money that they need? How do candidates like yourself and Dr. Jorgensen spread the message and get more votes and get more attention to the Libertarian Party?
Well, and here's the thing, Tony, we have an uphill battle because it's not just about getting our message out there. It's about fighting the hurdles that the Republicans and Democrats have put in place. So, for example, when the Republicans and Democrats picked their nominees for pretty much any office, including president and vice president, they are essentially automatically put on the ballot in each of the 50 states plus D.C. They just have to pay whatever the filing fee is. And then they say for the rest of us, for the other third parties and independent candidates, we have to get tens or in some cases hundreds of thousands of signatures even to be able to get on the ballot, even during a pandemic. And that is precious time and money and effort that is spent on just even getting on the ballot that we could be spending, on actual campaigning otherwise. We are shut out of the debate systematically by, having debate cartels that, set arbitrary standards like polling criteria and then don't include us in the polls so that they don't have to see if we even match the criteria in the first place. We have the federal matching funding where Republicans and Democrats rob the taxpayer to pay for their campaigns. And the rest of us, obviously, because we wouldn't do that because we don't think that we are owed your money. We have to get it the old fashioned way and actually earn your support and earn your money. So in every single way, they have put these barriers in front of us to make it as hard as possible for us to even participate in the first place. And that's why so many, libertarian-leaning people end up going to the Republican and Democrat parties. But we've seen what happens. Rand Paul and Justin Amash are two kind of perfect examples of that. Yep. Rand Paul has been able to accomplish precious little other than giving Donald Trump libertarian cover Donald Trump sees fit. Justin Amash, when he said, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm a libertarian, and what Donald Trump is doing is an absolute sacrilege to the Constitution, he got kicked out of his own party. And this is what happens. You either have to play the game in those parties or you have to go away. So the only way that we're going to go forward is to continue to work to change the cultural conversation in this country. All politics is downstream of culture. And so what we have to do is we just have to get our message out there. That's what I've been doing with Muddy Waters Media. That's what I'm doing with this run. That's what grassroots Americans that I've talked with on this tour that I've gone through, dozens of states so far during this tour, talking to everyday Americans. That's what they're doing every single day when they're writing letters to the editor, when you're calling into your local radio station to talk to them about libertarian ideas, when you are just talking with your friends and neighbors and loved ones about libertarianism, not by arguing with them, but by, engaging with them and presenting the message of human freedom in an engaging and dynamic way.
Got a few minutes left here with Spike Cohen, the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate. You touched on the debates there. That was one of the questions that I had for you, but I also wanted to agree with you completely on what you said about politicians like Justin Amash and Rand Paul. And, you know, on this radio station, I'll have conversations or people will call in or tweet me and they'll be angry at Rand Paul or Thomas Massey or Mike Lee or somebody like that and say, why don't they just fall in line? And I am always, you know, screaming, it's because they're not Republicans. They're not there. They have the R behind their name, but they are sticking to their values. They're sticking to their libertarian principles and they're not going to fall in line. That's who they are. But, you know, people only see sometimes the R or the D behind someone's name. Could you expand on that debate situation a little bit more? We are covering the debates, obviously. First one's coming up on Tuesday night. Radio stations like this and television stations all across the country, news stations all across the country going to be focused on these debates. And we see people, we've seen 20 people on the stage sometimes that have 1% of the votes and they're still getting on national television and they're still getting their time to present themselves in these debates. What does what does the Libertarian Party run into when it comes to trying to participate in these debates?
The Commission on Presidential Debates, which, let's be clear, is a debate cartel. It is a cartel that is owned by the Republicans and Democrats. After Ross Perot, at one point after his inclusion in the debates, actually was leading in polls prior to his briefly dropping out of the presidential race, the Republicans and Democrats essentially took the debates from the League of Women Voters and created the CPD, the Commission on Presidential Debates. And what they've done is they've created an absurd set of criteria in order to even be included in the debates in the first place. One of those criteria is to get 15% or more in five or more reputable opinion polls. Now, first of all, they don't tell us which of those polls is reputable. They just arbitrarily decide that. But second of all, they don't require that anyone has to actually include us in the polls, which would make sense. They don't have control of telling people who they can or cannot include in the polls. But because of that, there's no guarantee that we'll even be able to get a fair shake. And this year has been a perfect example of that, Tony. I mean, usually, at this point, libertarians have been included in at least a dozen or so polls. Even in times when third parties have had, you know, single digit or less support, they have been included in all of the polls. But this year, we've been included in, I believe, two of them. And I think the reason is because there's such growing discontent with, you know, the options that they have, that the crony corporate media does not want the want us to be able to get on that on that debate stage. Because if you can get Joe Jorgensen on that debate stage in between two men who can barely form a coherent sentence between them and who are emblematic of every bad policy to come out of Washington, D.C. for the past several decades, I think she wins that debate. She wins that election. And the crony corporate media that represents six multinational trillion-dollar companies, their gravy train gets cut off, and they don't want that.
Well, like you said, all we can keep doing is fighting the good fight, and I sure would love to see you and Dr. Jorgensen on stage, and we'll keep spreading the word and trying to make that happen. Before we let you go, Spike Cohen, how can people learn more about you and Dr. Jorgensen and your ticket and learn more about the Libertarian Party and maybe decide that's who they want to vote for this year?
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony. So, folks, if you like what you heard and you want to find out more, I invite you to go to our website, our campaign website, which is joe20.com. And if you want to find out more about the Libertarian Party or join the Libertarian Party and our growing army for human liberty, fighting for a world set free in our time, I invite you to go to lp.org. Or you can also check out Joe Jorgensen or myself on any social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere else. If you search for Joe Jorgensen or Spike Cohen, you will find both of us there. And I appreciate your time. Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, great stuff. Libertarian Party Vice Presidential Candidate Spike Cohen, I appreciate your time as well. And I hope we get another chance to talk real soon. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Let's do it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, got to take another quick break. When we get back, we'll talk to our buddy Skip Weber. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. So take this
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you lose me, you lose everything.
She said if you... Oh, that music can mean only one thing, and that is Skip Weber joins us on the Weekend Report right now. Skip, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
I'm doing well. It's great to talk with you. Chris Arps is not with us in studio or for the entire show this week, but we have been checking in with him. He's at an event in Atlanta, Georgia with the president. So,
wow.
Yeah, he big-timed us for the president.
Good for you, Chris.
Right. We'll check back in with Chris in a minute. We also just wrapped up a conversation with the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate Spike Cohen. Good stuff from Spike there. Always a good idea to download the Weekend Report podcast so you don't miss any of the discussions that we have. If you missed any of that talk with Mr. Cohen, you can always download our podcast pretty much anywhere you get podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app because it's basically one-stop shopping for the whole station. You can stream the station 24/7, you can rewind live radio, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station right there. So a couple things I wanted to talk to you about, Skip. But first, what is the latest at Weber Chevrolet?
The latest at Weber Chevrolet is that we have now got an incredible selection of Equinoxes 2020s. And that sounds like, hey, man, that sounds like leftover vehicles. Absolutely, it's not. They're all fresh off the trucks. This is the catch-up vehicles, from the plants being shut down. We've got a ton of them. Way more than anybody else has. And if you look at our website, you'll see the price is so good on them. This is not, 2021s will have minimal incentives from Detroit. Mm. These are the closeout pricing, even though we just got them in. And it's really, really good pricing. And we're selling a ton of them. So, as much as I say we have a ton, they're not going to last that well. It's the most popular vehicle in St. Louis, crossover wise, and we got a ton of them. Now, it's not the only vehicle we have on sale. You know that. It's just a highlight because we received so many of them these last few weeks. We've been waiting for a long time for them.
Skip, how much, if at all, is the coronavirus pandemic still affecting your sales at Weber Chevrolet, but just the car industry in general? Is it still having a major impact?
Places,
are you guys back up and running?
I hear about stuff all over the place where it's affecting a lot. The St. Louis area, it hasn't affected us. The dealers here have been open. We've been very careful to follow all guidelines and do a lot of safe things. We've had, I've actually had some little blips of coronavirus infections at a couple of the stores. And I know most dealers have had one or two here, and the people quarantine and everything's all fine.
Yeah.
So we get that happening. As a matter of fact, most of the people that I've had to end up be quarantined never came down with it. There was somebody that contacted with somebody else, like somebody's wife or brother-in-law or something like that had it. So they had to stay in quarantine for 10 days or 2 weeks and never tested positive. But we get a little bit of that. So sometimes we have a personnel issue here or there, but we just make it up. We cover each other's bases and take care of things. And our sales have been very, very strong.
Yeah.
The main thing that's affected us is that they've been the plant with the plants being down. We didn't get any cars built for a long time. So we do have lesser amounts of cars on our lots than we normally do. And
that's exactly what I was going to ask you about. Knowing that GM shut down for a time being, is there kind of a tsunami behind us that's coming? Because
sometime, but the problem is, Tony, is they can't get enough people to work to do three shifts. So when they're on two shifts, they're not catching up. They're doing normal production. They can't do it.
Right.
They can't catch up using two shifts.
So is now the time to take advantage of selection? Like, because if you sell some vehicles and there's
absolutely
not as many coming in, you might, like, now is the time if you want to make sure you have as many options as possible on whatever vehicle you're looking for.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be this way for a while. And this is the first month where we received more vehicles than we've sold. Now, the month isn't over from what we've sold, but it also isn't over from what we received. But since March, we have sold more vehicles at every lot than we received from the factory. And a couple of those, when they shut down, it was by a ton. So even with the ramp up coming back in July and August, we still sold more than what we got in. So it kept getting it lower and lower. Mm-hmm. But we never ran out because of that, because we were being replenished some. But this month we got more than we sold. I predict that next month we will also too. So it'll go the other direction, but not in huge chunks. It'll just, you know, if we get 200 cars in and sell 180, our lot won't look much better, but it's better than selling 180 and getting in 120, which is what we did, you know, on one of my lots in August.
Mm,
so
wow.
It'll be, you know, and the other thing about it is they still don't have all the auctions open for pre-owned vehicles. So we get pre-owned vehicles from people selling them to us without, you know, not trade-ins, from trade-ins, and from about 30-40% of our sales are vehicles we go buy at auctions that other people, other dealers, you know, company cars, whatever it might be, is unloading all their cars. You know, for example, if a Volkswagen dealer trades in a you know, Chevy Malibu, they may not sell it pre-owned off their lot. They take it to an auction, and then a bunch of Chevy dealers will bid on it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how we get a lot of our pre-owned vehicles, 30-40% of our sales.
As you know, I just sent somebody to you who got a Ram truck recently from Weber Chevrolet and is thrilled with it. So Weber Chevrolet has you covered in all of those areas. And, of course, Skip, tonight, the number one music show on a talk station in the world, the Saturday Evening Rock Show, 9 to 11, each and every Saturday night here on 97.1 FM Talk. We will be listening tonight, and you can keep up with that community on Facebook and check out all those incentives at WeberChevrolet.com, right?
Yep, that's right.
Great stuff. Skip Weber, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, Chris will be back in studio, and we'll have another edition of the Weird News Challenge.
All right. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Skip. Sir. Talk to you soon. And while we have a few minutes left in this first hour of the Weekend Report, I wanted to bring the former Missouri Speaker of the House, Tim Jones, into the conversation because we have this debate coming up. We just talked a little bit about the debates with Spike Cohen, the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate, and mentioned that we, of course, are going to be once again having full debate coverage. We're going to have pre-debate coverage with the Mark Cox Morning Show, the Annie Fry Show, the Dave Glover Show. Then we're going to carry the debate, and then I will be anchoring post-debate coverage with Tim Jones, who joins me now. I wanted to get your thoughts, Mr. Speaker, as we get ready for this first debate on how you're feeling about it. Thanks for jumping on for a couple minutes here.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it, and I wonder if Joe Biden is looking forward to it or is not sure what he's doing this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to talk to Bob Beckel here in just a couple minutes. Always
fantastic.
Always an interesting conversation with Bob. I am looking forward to getting his thoughts. I'm sure he's very confident about Joe Biden's ability to perform in these debates. But, you know, obviously there's some questions there. It's hard to argue whether you, no matter what side of the aisle you are on, it's hard to try to make the point that Joe Biden has been media tested as much as the president has been in recent years, weeks, months, whatever. This could be the first time that he faces honest, tough questions. And it's going to be interesting to see how the former vice president responds to it. What are you looking forward to most in this debate?
Well, Tony, you're exactly right. And I was really looking forward to and was pleased with the release of the six top line debate topics that Chris Wallace, the moderator of Fox News Sunday, released this week, because I looked through every single one of those topics, and it will be the first time, as you referenced, Joe Biden will be commenting on any of those topics. And these are the topics of the day, right? These are his record, his position on the Supreme Court vacancy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What types of judges would Joe Biden put on the Supreme Court? His positions on China, which are extremely suspect against the backdrop. Now, Tony, you couldn't have written a more dramatic lead-in, could you, to having the Hunter Biden story come out that the mainstream media completely ignored this week about Hunter Biden's very questionable relationships and dealings directly with Moscow. Talk about Russian collusion. Yeah. With China, and allegedly with human trafficking rings. I mean, and the media, the fact that the media went completely dark on this bombshell news, Chris Wallace is the type of journalist, he's not a salacious guy, but those are legitimate questions to ask. So how about the Biden tax plan, which folks on the Big Fox and folks on this station have looked at and analyzed and have realized how bad and damaging it would be to the American middle class. But nobody has asked. Nobody's been able to get to Joe Biden from Fox or these common sense conservative news radio outlets, because he's only taken questions from like the Delaware Daily and from his other hometown newspapers over the last few months. So yeah. I'm looking forward, Tony, to the former vice president being asked and having to answer questions about the major topics of the day that heretofore he's been able to absolutely avoid. And look, Tony, Republicans, unfortunately, I think the one mistake we've made, those of us on the Republican side of the aisle, we've made the bar so low for Joe Biden because we have been very concerned about his current ability to function versus look at Joe Biden from 2 or 3 years ago. He was a much more spry, much more with it, much quicker on the take, able to turn a phrase kind of guy. When you put some of the clips of him of 2016 Joe Biden next to 2020 Joe Biden, there's a huge difference. I hope we haven't lowered the bar so low that all he needs to do is stay awake and answer a couple questions from Chris Wallace. I hope that Chris Wallace asks a lot of tough follow-ups like he's usually wont to do, and that we really drill down into the epically failed record of the Obama-Biden presidency and why Joe Biden's policies will not help make America great again.
Yeah, I think that's one of the advantages of having Chris Wallace going first. If anybody can keep these two guys on time and within the rules, I'm not sure anybody can rein in the president completely, but I like Chris Wallace's chances better than just about anybody else in the national media.
Yeah, Chris Wallace is not afraid to cut people off, to end answers when they become rambling and esoteric, and he's not afraid to ask follow-up questions. And that's what you're going to have to do with both of these alpha male gentlemen.
Are you worried at all about the president's approach to debates, how he does not practice? He doesn't, try to script himself out. He just goes out and plays it by his instincts like everything else. Do you like that, or does that worry you?
Well, based on his past performance, the past performance of President Donald Trump's debate performance resulted in him becoming president in 2016. So I don't see that he's lost a step at all. He's probably gained a step. He's gained a lot of knowledge, hasn't he? I mean, when you become, despite the fact that Donald Trump was quite the astute observer of daily news and analysis and is able to talk on any topic du jour of the day that you throw out to him, he has now gained the knowledge of being president of the United States of America for 4 years. All that international information, all that top secret information, all that confidential information, speaking with world leaders. So I think the president has gained. Here's what I'd like him to do, though, Tony, because we do criticize him. I criticize him from time to time of being too much of a stream of consciousness speaker, which that's great. He's got a lot in his head that he wants to get out, but sometimes it's tough for people to follow because he is trying to tie together and talk about like seven different topics at once. He needs to think about every single topic he's going to get asked, and he knows now what the first six are, right? I'll bet Wallace adds to that or may follow up or diverge in areas, but he knows the six topics. So if I'm the president and I'm his team, I'm saying, Mr. President, on every single one of these topics, you need to have three top line talking points that you get out first and that you hammer home and that you tie to your record of success. Then you can move on to other things, but let's get those three things out. Tony, I still remember when he came down the golden escalator in Trump Tower 5 years ago, the three things he said every American does. What did he say he was going to do if elected president? I'm going to make an economy that creates jobs. I'm going to destroy ISIS and the caliphate, and I'm going to do something about our illegal immigration problem. Those are the three things he said. Yeah. He's worked on every single one of them with success of varying degrees, and he wants to continue to do more. That's what the president needs to do to stay focused and on track.
Tim Jones, in just a few seconds, because we got to wrap up this hour, would you like to see the president come out and challenge Joe Biden and try to, you know, maybe make him lose his temper or gaffe himself? Or would that make the president look like a bully? How do you want to see the president's demeanor in this debate?
I'd like him to have a presidential demeanor, but I want him to be tough. Okay, does that make sense?
Sure,
I mean,
does.
I think he can do both. I think he can do both, right? Donald Trump is a smart enough, clever enough, astute enough of a boxer to, I think, do that. So you want to give Joe Biden the time to answer. You shouldn't jump down his throat on every single thing. But I think the president should bring up these things that the liberal national media has failed to ask him. That you've seen when reporters do get in there every once in a while, when Peter Ducey gets a shot at him, bring up Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Bring up the Obama-Biden economy, which was an absolute anemic failure. And I think you're going to get Joe Biden frazzled and confused, and I think you will get under his skin, but you'll do it in a way where you're on substance.
Yeah.
Stay
yeah.
away from the personal attacks. Stay on the substance of the story.
Former Missouri Speaker of the House Tim Jones is going to be with me in studio for our live post-debate coverage this Tuesday night. 97.1 is the only place you need to go. We have pre-debate coverage. We'll air the debate. And then Tim and I will be in studio with post-debate coverage with many other folks as well. So make sure you are here for that. Got to wrap up this first hour, but we got a busy second hour coming up, which we will start with Bob Beckel when we get back to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed. The Weekend Report is on your radio. This is hour number two of The Weekend Report. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd. My partner, Chris Arps, is not with us this week, but we did check in with him in that first hour. He is in Atlanta at an event with the president. We may check in again with Chris this hour. We'll see how it works out. But good stuff from Chris this week. Also in that first hour, we talked to Spike Cohen, the Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate. If you missed anything from that first hour, don't forget to download the Weekend Report podcast. You can get our podcast anywhere you get podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app as being the best place to do so. We have got a packed second hour coming up right now for you as well. In a few minutes, we'll talk to the insider's insider, Rodney Boyd. But right now, as I mentioned, joining us once again on the show is former Fox News host, best-selling author, and a man who has worked at basically every level of politics in the United States. Always great, even if we don't agree, to talk to Bob Beckel. Bob, great to talk to you again, sir. How are you?
You too, Tony. I'm fine. Thank you.
You bet. It's Bob, it's getting real exciting now. As long as you've been in politics, do you still get revved up whenever we get close to one of these presidential elections? You know, we've been talking about it for so long, but now it's like here. The debates are starting, and we are like in crunch time, and that's exciting stuff. Do you still get those, you know, got kind of revved up for this stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. More so every time there's a presidential race, and particularly this one. I mean, I've been around politics for 40 years, and yeah. I've been involved in 5 presidential races, and I don't think I've ever seen, and I never have. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, you could say it's like 2000 Gore versus Bush, but it's really not. I mean, this is a question now in advance that the suggestion that it may be a rigged election, and you know, that's putting a marker down. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like saying there's going to be a rigged election, mm-hmm. even though I don't know it's going to be. We're going to make it a rigged election, and then it's up to the courts again. So,
how dangerous is that, Bob? How dangerous is that? I think that is literally the worst thing that could happen, because it will destroy what little trust many of us have left in the process. If a presidential election appears to be settled in a courtroom and not at the ballot box, I think it's extremely dangerous. What do you think?
No, I think it's explosive, and it probably will be the biggest eruption of the electorate or of the people since the founding. I mean, I cannot imagine, particularly if Biden wins, that is to say the press says, all right, we've counted this and there's as many ballots are out, but, you know, yeah. Take a look at history.
They
blah,
project
blah, blah.
Him as the winner, yeah.
Yeah, and then the various court challenges, which are, you know, Trump's people have been very strategic about this. They've challenged in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, Arizona. So and we know what those states are about. So at that point, it's the Republicans or the courts say, all right, let's move these along. And ultimately, the Supreme Court will wrap them together and decide whether they think the laws are fairly reflect the electoral guidelines that we've got. But I just think people will go absolutely crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And don't you think, I mean, you know, the president said what he said this week, but we've also seen Hillary Clinton say that, you know, Joe Biden should not accept defeat at any under any circumstances. I feel like both parties are preparing for a court battle. I honestly don't pin the blame more on one or the other. I'm sure you do. But I feel like both parties have already made up their minds that they are ready to fight this in court.
Absolutely. I mean, I can tell you for a fact that's true. When you come to Democrats,
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know, Democrats have picked lawyers and others and former judges in every state where there's been a contest filed, and so and they'll be. We intend to cover really important precincts, which have been marginal precincts over the years. And, of course, Democrats and Republicans will be there when they count the ballot. So it's going to be but the problem with counting the ballots is if the Trump team says, look, anything take, for example, Pennsylvania. They say in the law in Pennsylvania, the revised law, that any ballot received at the election but postmarked on November 3rd is countable. Republicans say, no, it's not countable. So if you've got, you know, 400,000 ballots sitting there that are postmarked, a lot of that's from soldiers, by the way,
right.
Then what do you do? You say, okay, we're going to disregard those ballots. We're not going to count them. I mean, it makes no sense.
Reason that I am not a fan of mail-in voting, and I'd love to get your opinion. And to me, and I've been saying this for weeks, and my partner Chris Arps is not here this week, would say that The reason that Republicans are against it and Democrats are for it is because historically Democrats are more corrupt with mail-in voting than Republicans. I don't know if that's the case. I know that that's the message. I personally don't trust mail-in voting because I don't trust anybody. And I see the opportunity for corruption on both sides. And so I think it's a bad idea. What do you think about the idea of mail-in voting?
Listen, I've been involved in states that have mail-in ballots for several years, like Oregon. And they have, by the way, the lowest percentage of fraud of any state in the union. So I know it can work. And if the constituency, the voters are used to it, then it's fine. But when you're dealing with voters who've never done this before and get something in the mail, and is there potential for abuse? Yeah, on both sides. But is it something that's planned? That I don't think so. But I look, you mail out a ballot everywhere in North Carolina, and which they're going to do. They have them, and a bunch of them have come back, you know, address the unknown, all that. But you can be sure the Trump people are going to challenge whatever comes in from those mail ballots that are postmarked late, or for that matter, come in at all. I mean, if they say, you know, you can't just blanket a state with ballots. And I mean, I can sort of understand that in a way, but I'm trying to figure out how, at the level you would need to win a presidential election, you could fraudulently get those ballots done, signed, and in.
If anybody could, it would be Republicans or Democrats. That's my opinion on that.
Well,
if any group is large enough to do it, it's those two.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Hey, Bob, I want to get through a few topics while we have some time. Like I mentioned, the debate's right around the corner. Real question about Joe Biden's ability. I'm sure you've known Joe and personally met him many times. It's really hard to make the case that he hasn't lost a step or lost his fastball. It's really hard to say that the press doesn't treat him differently than they treat the president. But you're not going to be able to hide as much in debates. Do you have any worries about Joe's ability to perform in these debates, or is that sort of overblown?
No. I did Biden's very first Senate campaign, and Joe is a good debater. The loss to step, I mean, yeah, I could say that about Trump two times over, but let's assume for a moment that you've got two relatively sane people on the stage. The question now is, they have said for months that Biden is dim-witted, he can't finish a sentence, and they've set the bar for him very low. Now they're trying to reverse that, but it's a little bit late. And everywhere Trump went, he said that, you know, Biden isn't up to this. He can't debate me, blah, blah. Well, when you set expectations that low, and expectations for Trump as a supposedly good debater, which I don't think he is, but the bar is high for him, then it's much easier for Biden to win a debate, much easier, unless he says or does something that is really outrageous. I mean, if we had something like in 1984, when we had debates with Reagan, and the first debate, Reagan started to meander about going up Route 1 in California.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, remember that?
There I do.
Well, maybe you don't. But
no, I do.
It was.
And then he came back with that great line in the next debate about he won't hold the his opponent's age against him. And turned it around.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you, if you were once again advising the former vice president, what would you tell him to do in this debate? How would you want him to handle himself and either fire back at or maybe not fire back at President Trump?
No, I think fire back is exactly the right way to go. I think the key to this in the first 15 minutes is to take control of the debate. In other words, if Trump tries to get away with something, to say, you know, Mr. President, you tried that before. You did it 4 years ago. It wasn't true then. It's not true now. So, and when you bullied Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, you're not going to bully me. Mm. And so you ought to answer questions for people finally. without having to lie about it. And anything aggressive that puts, I think that'll put Trump on warning. Now, you've got to be a little careful that you don't overstep the line and look like you're trying to bully Trump in reverse. But Trump's had such a reputation as a bully that I think getting back at him is exactly the right thing to do. What you don't need to do is sink into the weeds and policy and other things. Because Trump, you know, name any area, and he'll make up the things he's accomplished. In Biden's case, he needs to stick on Trump, Trump's record, and particularly on how he's dealing with the coronavirus. And I think he takes charge, he'll win.
Talking to Bob Beckel. Bob, what do you think of the Supreme Court situation? What are your thoughts on the president and the Republicans moving forward with trying to fill this seat before the election?
I think it's one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen, if not the most outrageous. I mean, look, my bet right now, unless Biden wins by such a margin that it's so apparent he won, but if it's a relatively close election, and it will be, it'll end up in the courts. And if it gets to the Supreme Court and they've got this new woman on the court who's going to absolutely vote for Trump, then you're going to have a situation where Trump wins by court. And I just think that's he may think that ends and becomes a legitimate election. It's not going to be that way. I mean, people are not going to view it that way. And also the idea, I think people are very suspicious. You look at the polls, they think that the next president ought to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and it certainly shouldn't be done before the election. It's almost impossible to be done before the election. The Democrats have enough tools at their advantage to slow it down. But nonetheless, it would be the case after the election. I mean, look, they steamroll it. Once they got everybody on board except for Collins, it's almost a guarantee that she'll get confirmed. So,
hey Bob, if the roles were reversed and the Democrats had the presidency in the Senate right now, don't you think they'd be doing the same thing though? I mean,
no,
don't they take advantage?
No, I don't.
Don't both parties take advantage of the power that they have?
Yeah, but the problem is that it looks so. If Biden tried to do this, for example, it would look so sleazy and so rigged, if you will, that I think people would reject it overwhelmingly.
Well, didn't Obama try to? Didn't Barack Obama try to do it?
A year in advance.
It was earlier. Yeah, it was in February and not in.
Yeah,
August.
It was 9 months in advance. Yeah. But I mean, you know, to hold that nomination up for an election like Mitch McConnell did is crazy. I mean, that was way out of bounds. But doing it a month before the election, now that's getting to the point where it may be legal. It certainly is legal. But the question is, is it ethically acceptable to the American people? And I don't think it is.
Last question, Bob. You just illustrated a possible scenario that I think is an absolute nightmare. If this election is decided by the Supreme Court and the vote that is the deciding vote is the justice that was just installed by President Trump, I don't even want to think about how damaging that is to the election. But it's a good point that it may be that way. Last question about the you mentioned how the Democrats have tools. The tools of the minority party are a lot less than they used to be. I'm not a big fan of having 51 votes. I liked the days of 60-40 better. What do you think?
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, yeah.
You agree? Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when they changed that was the Democrats' fault. They did it. Bob Byrd did it. When you do that, you allow the courts to be, if you control the Senate, you allow the courts to be packed with your party, and you can see it across the country. I mean, one of the things that people don't pay attention to is how many judges Trump has already appointed at the federal and the appellate level and at the Supreme Court. So I think people would be Democrats and Republicans. I don't think anybody's going to accept that, or at least a thinking person would accept that.
Yeah.
And so
I hope it doesn't happen.
What do you do?
I hope we don't get to that position.
You and me both, buddy.
That is Bob Beckel. Bob, thanks for your time today, and I'm sure we will check back in with you again as we finish out this crazy election season. Thanks for joining us.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Tony.
You bet. That is Bob Beckel on the Weekend Report, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about some local Missouri politics as we will have Jefferson City's insider, Rodney Boyd, joining us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm sitting in a tree, seeds swinging in the breeze.
I'm looking at that's good stuff. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Big thanks again to Bob Beckel for joining us in that last segment. Just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Rodney Boyd, the host of Insider Talk. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Frank Ladd. We also, in that first hour, checked in a couple times with my co-host Chris Arps, who is not with us for the full show this week because he is in Atlanta at an event with the President of the United States. I should also remind you that as we have these conversations with Chris and Bob, we are recording these right before the Supreme Court Justice. So if you heard Bob and I talking about who that person is and what they may or may not do in that last interview, what we talked about is still very relevant, but we don't know that name yet, and you may know that name as you're hearing this. So just wanted to give you that quick disclaimer. But Frank, it has been a packed show today, and we are flying through it. Spike Cohen, Libertarian vice presidential candidate.
We've had both of the people from that party's ticket.
Yes, and we're the only ones.
Literally, across the country.
What are your thoughts on a third party? I'll stop there. What are your thoughts on a third party?
Third parties are great. Third parties are vital to the system because they bring ideas to the forefront, especially if they're well-funded and they can get their information out there. The problem with our system is it's a winner-take-all system. Our system of government leads to just two parties. Mm. That's the problem.
And that creates a lack of choice that I don't think provides proper representation.
100%. I don't disagree with that at all. The problem is constitutionally that the Constitution, the way it's set up, the way the elections are, and how it's a winner-take-all situation, and you don't proportionally grade out the representation to the people of the country in different viewpoints, it leads to a winner-take-all situation to where you only have Republicans and Democrats, Whigs and Tories, blah, 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 different parties that have come and gone.
Yeah. So I had a great discussion, I think, with the Libertarian vice presidential candidate Spike Cohen in that first hour. If you missed anything from that first hour or you missed that discussion that we just had with Bob Beckel, don't forget you can always download the podcast of this show. We put it out each and every week. A lot of you download the podcast. We really appreciate that. But this week, man, there's just been so much. You can get our podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. I always recommend the Radio.com app because it's basically one-stop shopping for the whole station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio. So if you're listening, you hear one of those interviews and you just want to rewind it again quickly and catch it again, you can. And of course, you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station right there on the radio.com app. Also, little housekeeping here. Want to remind you that we will be covering all of the debates, and the first presidential debate is happening this Tuesday night. It is upon us. I am looking forward to it tremendously. These two men getting on stage, and we have you covered from top to bottom. We have some pre-debate coverage with all of the big hosts here on 97.1, the Mark Cox Morning Show, the Annie Fry Show, the Dave Glover Show, all going to be doing some pre-debate coverage. Then we're going to air the debate, and then I am going to be in studio live following the debate until, who knows, at least 11 o'clock. Debate's supposed to end at 9:30 our time. We'll see how it goes. But I'll be here in studio with Tim Jones and maybe some others. Yes, Frank?
I think, and this is my challenge to you,
mm-hmm.
our listeners don't need to go anywhere else.
No.
You don't need to leave your radio. You don't need to put it on the TV. You don't need to put it on your computer. You can lock it in and get the full debate coverage right here. So much easier. You can lay in bed. You don't have to have the TV on, creating that blue light that keeps you awake late at night. It's a wonderful thing. You can just sit and listen to your phone,
yes.
to your radio. It's all right here to your smart speaker. I challenge our listeners to listen to the debate.
I like it.
I challenge our host looking at me right now to mm-hmm. listen to the debate.
Oh, I will.
Don't just watch it on TV.
Right.
Listen to it. Because we all know, historically, you look back at the famous Kennedy-Nixon debate.
Mm-hmm.
The people that watched it on TV
yes.
thought Kennedy did better.
I mentioned this on the air last week.
The people that listened to it on the radio clearly thought Nixon won.
Yeah, and the famous story behind that debate
yes.
is that the television won that debate and maybe that election for Kennedy
correct.
Because he looked so good on television, but you never hear that second part of the story. Television was not nearly as big of a deal as
no.
it is now. So many Americans listened to that debate on the radio, and the people that were polled in the United States afterwards that only watched or only listened to that debate on the radio all thought Nixon did better.
Exactly. So I think you, as a radio host, you're not a TV host, you're a radio host. Don't look at that TV.
Don't tell me what
don't
I
watch
am.
It. Don't. I don't think you're a TV host.
No.
Not with that haircut.
That's
no.
a great point.
But no, seriously, I think so you're in tune with the people who are listening and who listen to it.
Yeah.
You'll have a better understanding if people call in or people text in or people shoot notes to you via Twitter. Hey, I listened to it. This is what I thought. That way you understand their viewpoint because you've only listened
yep.
to it.
No, I
That's my challenge to you.
I can't promise that I'll listen exclusively to the whole thing, but I will listen to a very good chunk of it without watching
pretty
the television.
Pretty good idea, huh?
It is a great idea. It
yeah.
is a great idea. And like Frank said, you don't need to go anywhere on Tuesday night. We have you covered pre-debate, during the debate, and post-debate. We will have it all covered for you, and I honestly think that we do the best coverage when it comes to debates and election nights and all that stuff. So make sure you are joining us for that. We got to get to Rodney Boyd here in just a couple minutes, but Frank, I've been wanting to talk to you about this all week long because you're kind of our baseball expert, you season ticket holder for the Cardinals, and I saw this. It was like a blip a week ago, this story was, and I thought it was a much bigger deal than anybody's. It's being presented as one of those, ha-ha, this happened at a Major League Baseball game. Isn't that funny? And I don't think it's funny. We've now twice in 2020 had Major League Baseball games delayed by drones, and we saw a drone last week land in the outfield at Wrigley Field. I'm not saying the person that did that was up to no good, but in 2020, with all the weirdness that's happening, that scares me when we have things like that happening in baseball at baseball games, especially if we're going to start putting people back in the stadiums. As a baseball fan, as a season ticket holder, a drone flies into Busch Stadium. How do you feel about that?
I think it's going to be more and more prevalent because drones are getting cheaper and cheaper.
Yeah.
And the batteries are getting better and better, and they can fly farther, and you can do more with them. So I think that's going to happen more and more often because you can look on your phone right now and buy one.
Yeah,
instantaneously, it'll be here tomorrow, and you can go up there and
probably fly it with your phone, too.
And exactly. You can fly it with your phone. You can take pictures with your phone, video, everything like that. The issue is it's breaking the law. It's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's violating no-fly spaces mm-hmm. over these stadiums. When we flew for traffic, when there were Cardinal Day games, there were routes around Busch Stadium that we could not fly over.
Right.
because it's illegal. So these people doing
this. I know a helicopter pilot that once had authorities knock on his door because he flew too close to Busch Stadium. He's not a sports guy. Did not realize there was a game that day.
Right.
Didn't check like he's supposed to. Admitted that mistake that he didn't check the plan like he's supposed to, and went for a flight and got home. And an hour later, somebody was knocking on his door because they wanted to know why he was.
Why
where
were
he
you
was.
There? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think people who are doing this probably ought to bone up on some federal law, because your fingerprints are on that thing, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're gonna find you.
Yeah,
so
it's
scary because of what potentially could happen. I don't think we're at the point where we need to be scared.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not trying to freak people out or anything. I just think it's a little bit more concerning than, like, on the lighter side of the news.
Right.
Some goofball landed a drone in the outfield at Wrigley Field,
and we know that. Or we've at least heard stories that those sorts of things have been done in prisons. They've landed drones in prisons, dropped in contraband, a phone,
right.
drugs, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's where it's scary.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that because
are you buying
kind
a drone?
Of our, I have a drone.
I'm
not nearly
are.
Good enough
you
to land it in Busch Stadium, but I do have one.
Landed in your neighbor's yard.
Yeah. I've never used the camera on it. I've only flown it a couple times.
What's the
actually.
Point if you don't use the camera?
I know. I haven't used it as much as I thought.
People
I was
at roofing companies use it to check out roofs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people don't have to climb up on you
real
know,
estate companies.
Two story roofs. Exactly.
You can do some cool stuff with them, but don't land them in baseball fields.
No.
All right. We need to get our buddy Rodney Boyd on the phone right now before we run out of time here. Let's get Rodney on the line. The host of Insider Talk, heard every Sunday right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Rodney, how are you, my friend?
You know, I am I'm living my best COVID life, man. I'm just trying to do the best I can do under the circumstances that are way beyond my control. But that having, you know, that saying that, you know, overall, all pretty good.
So speaking of COVID, you know, one of the huge stories of the week is the fact that the governor of the state of Missouri and the first lady have COVID-19, but it's with so much happening, with 2020 being what it is, even in the state of Missouri, or at least here in St. Louis, that's what should be a headline story is pushed way down the stack because of how crazy the news cycle is. But that's a big deal, I think, at least. What's been the reaction in Jeff City?
It's a really big deal, and it's the kind of big deal that is now, as you said, trying to compete with other big deals, other big stories. But I would say I ask all the listeners to send up a prayer for Governor Parson and his wife, because they are good people. Mm-hmm. And saying aside any political stuff, they're good people.
Can you give us an update on have you heard, like, I know he put out a statement the other day that said he felt fine. Do you have an update as far as that's concerned?
So there's two different experiences with COVID, as would be consistent with all of us.
Yeah.
So Teresa Parson, the first lady, has symptoms. She is quarantined in their actual home in Bolivar, Missouri, which is over in Polk County. The governor, who has been asymptomatic since he was diagnosed and remains asymptomatic today, is quarantining at the mansion in Jeff City and is still able to perform his duties as governor. I had a brief call with our lieutenant governor yesterday just to say, hey, you know, how does this work? I mean, do you have to step in? And he said, no, as long as the governor can serve the functions, he can do those functions from the mansion, which is a block away from the Capitol. So for now, all things being what they are, the first lady has symptoms. She's being treated and dealt with in their actual home in Bolivar, Missouri, not hospitalized. And the governor has tested positive, but is asymptomatic and is functioning in a quarantine state from the mansion in Jeff City. So for now, that's the latest update. Obviously, with the virus, with it being a new virus, we call it COVID-19 quickly now, but it's officially still new coronavirus, so we don't have a playbook on it, so we just have to monitor every day. As everyone that's been affected with this disease will tell you, it is a unique viral experience for each individual, which is why you've got a governor who's asymptomatic and his wife is not, and a number of people, Tony, that were tested that have been in proximity to the governor have not tested positive. So this is very, very
That's good.
And individualized. Yes, sir.
So one of the criticisms from many on the left of Governor Parson is that he hasn't been strict enough on coronavirus, and now he tests positive for it. So in your opinion, politically, how does this impact the governor and this election year? Does it does it hurt him politically?
You know, I don't think it moves the needle along where people are. I think those that feel like he should have been more aggressive or now feel like they've got a case point, hey, he should have been more aggressive. Those that feel he modulated the situation, balancing between individual rights and not being too forceful, will say, well, he was willing to walk the walk, and this is in part the inexorable consequence for him. But if he gets to the point where he's recovered, as I believe he will, you know, I think his supporters will say it was they would have rather seen him take the chance he took and not force everybody to shut down and mask up. So it's politically divisive, Tony. But I don't think there's going to be any sort of shift in his support or loss of support because he actually became infected. I think everybody will somehow, the way we do things today, Tony, everybody will be vindicated on both sides by this situation.
I'm talking to Rodney Boyd. Before we let you go, Rodney, as it stands right now at the end of September, how do you handicap the governor of the election in November in the state of Missouri?
You know, I still say slight advantage to incumbent Parson. Here's why. You know, we had talked earlier about what might happen in the gubernatorial race, and I was wanting to see how the top of the ticket would play out, right, on the Democratic side, and what that would do for turnout. So obviously there are a lot of concerns about that independent, you know, not necessarily Republican, but independent conservative voter in the suburbs, right? What are they going to do? And that's still a real constituency that I think is up in the air, right? They're going to be watching every debate and making their final decision. But as far as the base, I don't think there's anything that's going to deter the president's base from coming out full bore, right? A lot of passion around the Supreme Court, a lot of passion around a lot of issues. Now, what about the Biden base? I am still not today seeing the level of energy that you saw in 08 with Obama, where you've got people who hadn't voted in 16 saying, oh my goodness, this is the cause du jour. I'm going. So I'm still waiting to see where the energy plays out in the base and how that will benefit a Galloway, who's a very nominal candidate in terms of a lot of people still don't know her, what she stands for, her brand. But we've got, you know, 40 days to go. And as you and I both know from watching the news cycle, it might as well be 40 years. There's going to be some cataclysmic things
that, right,
that we're not even thinking about that are going to come up. So today I say advantage incumbent Governor Parson, but let's keep talking about this as we get closer and closer and closer to the
election,
actual date, because I suspect we're going to have a few things that are going to come up that we have not predicted that will reshape and recalibrate those independent voters and have impacts on both guys' base.
Always great stuff from Rodney Boyd. Again, the host of Insider Talk every Sunday at noon. Who's on the show tomorrow, Rodney?
So tomorrow we're going to be talking to two very significant women. We're going to be talking to the head of the Republican Party, Jean Evans, and we're going to be talking to the head of the Senate Central Democratic Committee, Carla May. They both are going to have two different perspectives on the election, but I wanted to hear from them. I wanted to hear what they think is going to happen. So we're going to be continuing this conversation
Absolutely.
With two people that have a critical role in executing the visions of both their respective parties.
Well, we'll be listening. Rodney, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. We need to take another quick break. Don't go anywhere. Going to talk to Dr. Ed Ernstrom, my chiropractor. Got some stories that I want to tell you and talk to you about with Dr. Ed. So don't go anywhere. We're going to have that conversation when we get back to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Woo! What a show we have had today. If you missed any of it, make sure you download the podcast on the radio.com app. My partner, Chris Arps, is in Atlanta with the president. We've talked to him a couple of times. We talked to the Libertarian vice presidential candidate, Spike Cohen. We talked to Skip Weber, Bob Beckel, Rodney Boyd. And we're not even done yet because, as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the line is one of the great sponsors of the show and my friend and my chiropractor, Dr. Ed Ernstrom from Ernstrom Spinal Rehab. Dr. Ed, how's it going?
Going great, Tony. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to hear from you. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. So I want to dive right into it. People who have listened to me for any amount of time know about my history of back pain and migraine headaches. And I've told the story many times about how I had never seen a chiropractor until I met you and what a positive impact you have had on my back pain and my migraine headaches and all of that. For people that have never, like me, had never been to a chiropractor, don't really understand what's going on, not sure if it works. What about your practice helps people so much? I mean, I could speak to it personally, but I don't know the whys. I know you use the laser and my back feels better.
Right.
But I don't know why it makes my back feel better. And I know my headaches go away. So talk to people about what you do there at Ernstrom Spinal Rehab and how you can help people.
Well, this will actually be kind of a good segue into something I wanted to introduce to you today that I don't know if you knew if I started. I started a new YouTube series, Moving, Get Motivated, and Get Metabolic.
Yeah.
And just on Wednesday, I did a Get Moving, and the whole subject that I used was like, why chiropractic, right? What is this good for? What are chiropractors even good for? And the best definition I was able to come up with at the spur of the moment was that we're general well-being doctors. If you're not well and you're not moving well, and that's why it was Get Moving Day, is that, you know, chiropractors are good at getting things moving the way they're supposed to be moving. There's times when your joints become hypomobile. They're not moving enough. And we take a good look. We palpate, kind of check and challenge the joints to see if they're moving or not. And once we know which ones aren't moving, we put motion back into those with the chiropractic adjustment. And then on top of that, I use the laser before that so that the muscle spasms don't hold on too tightly and make the adjustment uncomfortable. And take care of the inflammation, reduce the pain, reduce the muscle spasm. You just have a general better outcome on the back end of the adjustment. And then, you know, the rock tape services, which, you know, it gives a better input to the brain so your brain can have a better output to the body to move better. And just stretches and exercises, just general well-being is really what it all comes down to.
And it's not just, and, you know, I mentioned the migraine headaches and you mentioned other other pains. It's not just back pain that you can help with. You can help if somebody has an injury in their knee or their foot or their shoulder.
I had a woman, she's probably like mid to late 50s, works at a desk job. She has a hobby of going out and doing basset hound hunting during this time of the year. She's got a basset hound hunt coming up in a couple weeks.
Nice.
And she wanted to get her knee taken care of before she went on the basset hound hunt, walking these dogs through the forest, you know? I did one treatment and she just like on top of the world, and she's scheduled to come back next week right before her the first hunt, and we're going to keep her doing what she wants to do.
And for me, maintenance is as important as going when I have a problem. Like obviously if my back is killing me, then I want to go to you. I want to come in and get that taken care of. But if I go on a regular basis, my back doesn't hurt. And so keeping up with it, kind of making it a regular thing, I think for me and many others, you don't wait until you're in a lot of pain to go, because you can save yourself from that pain.
I'm in what I would like to call a proactive type of therapy, meaning that we want to get it to it before it's a bigger problem. Granted, a lot of times people usually come to me when it's retroactive, when it's already been a big problem affecting their life. this again, back to that same term, general well-being. You're not feeling well. You're not moving well. Your life is complicated by your pain or your inhibition to move. So getting regular checkups on your spine and your frame and your muscles is just as important as just getting your tires rotated and getting your oil changed in your car, you know?
And you
maintain your car better than you do your own body sometimes.
I can't say that this is for sure the reason why, but it sure seems ironic that, as you know, this is the first week that we just went through that I've missed an appointment in a long time, in a couple of months at least. And this week, these last couple of days, I've had the worst night's sleep that I've had in a long time, and I had a migraine headache yesterday. And I haven't had any of that until the week that I didn't go up and see you. So I can't promise that those things are connected, but it, like I said, it sure seems ironic that all of that stuff comes back whenever I miss a week of going up and seeing you. We only have about a minute and a half left, so I wanted to give you a chance to not only talk to people about where you're located and how they can come see you, but also plug that new YouTube series and how they can check it out. So go ahead.
Just recently I had this, I've been wanting to do this for a while with the YouTube series. I've been listening to and watching a lot of YouTubers myself and learning so much about metabolic disorders and insulin resistance and diabetes and how to lose weight and how to just overcome a lot of these other issues like hypertension and heart disease too. And so I decided, you know, I've been studying this for about 5 to 20 hours a week for the last 2 years. I need to put my knowledge back out into the public and help my community.
Yes. And you and I have those conversations in the office, and I learned so much having those conversations with you. And so now that people can get those on YouTube, I think that is a great resource. And how can they come see you in the office and book an appointment?
YouTube station is Ernst Strom Spinal Rehab, which you can find on the 97.1 website under advertisers with Tony Colombo, if you don't know how to spell it, or just look up Ernst Strom Spinal Rehab or chiropractor near me. I'm one of the highest rated chiropractors in the area on healthgrades.com. I'm located in the Chesterfield Valley near the Spirit Airport on the corner of Crown Industrial and Airport Road in Chesterfield. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at Ernst Strom Spinal Rehab or my name at Ernst Strom DC. My telephone number is 636-778-2075, and my website is imyourchiro.com.
I can't recommend him enough, and I look forward to the next chance to talk with you, Doc. That is imyourchiro.com for Dr. Ed Ernstrom. Doc, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, dude. We'll see you next.
You bet. All right, that's going to do it for a busy edition of The Weekend Report. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here next week on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.